and homelessness, and those kind of rose to the top, and you know, trying to deal with blight and other things. So many of you have been following it, so thank you so much for being a part of it, participating. There continues to be public meetings throughout San Jose, and I know that the mayor and I were gonna try to have one here. We haven't identified a date, I don't think yet. But it's coming. The issues on Measure E, which is the affordable housing dollars, and how they're going to be allocated. We'll have another public hearing on June 12th, and then the council will vote on June 13th, which is a Tuesday. So I've heard some of you be part of public comment. That's very good. Thank you so much for your active participation. And we'll continue to receive information. There are many bulletins that are coming out from the city manager's office. They call them MBAs, the manager's budget addendum. So they're online. So if you're interested and would like to know what's coming up, they're very easily accessible. And I look forward to working through some of the tough issues in terms of priorities. I always wanna know what the trade-offs are in terms of if we go in one direction, what does it mean for other priorities? So what you will see in the next couple of weeks is really how do we balance that? We had received so much money from the federal government through the ART program due to COVID, and we received money from the state. And some of those have really dried up. I personally think that the state should be much more involved and really help us with the housing issue and the homeless issue. They're not quite as, they haven't figured out yet in terms of their own budget how they're going to help the cities, but I really think that they need to also take responsibility. On transportation, some of you may know that Stevens Creek Boulevard, really, there's an improvement that's gonna happen from the Dearden Station all the way to De Anza, and we received a grant, and right now the Stevens Creek Corridor Vision Study is happening. There's a lot interviews that are happening with community members. Because it also crosses towards other jurisdictions like Santa Clara, we're also engaging Santa Clara. We have a meeting coming up in June. That is gonna be a two-year process, and we're already like 6 months into it. So it's gonna be ongoing. Most recently, the city council also looked at options to bring transportation from Dearden to the airport. As part of that, I created a memo to ensure that when we do these different studies, that they talk to each other. That was accepted. It doesn't cause any additional funding or anything else, but I did point out that sometimes we do things and one area doesn't talk to the other area, and then you find out that it's incompatible. Well, that shouldn't happen. So that is happening right now. This is not in my notes, but I wanted to let you know that I've been very, very involved with San Jose State, and there may be a possibility, this is very preliminary, but there may be a possibility that we look at transportation, especially in the multi-jurisdiction around Lawrence Expressway, Prospect, and Saratoga Avenue, that whole area. The graduate students of the Urban and Regional Planning Department did a study on East Santa Clara, and they came up with recommendations. And I think that we need to start looking at those areas that, no matter what happens in terms of development, really need an understanding of all of the jurisdictions that are involved, because in that area you have the school district, we have Saratoga, we have the county roads, we have potentially VTA, and then you have us. And then we have all of the different neighborhood associations. So I'm starting to, I've already talked with San Jose State. They're very interested in creating a project for the graduate students. And the quality of work that they did on East Santa Clara was really wonderful. So it at least would give us a baseline approach of existing conditions. And I'm very excited about that because I think that when something happens in that area, we always look, oh, well, the transportation, well, who's responsible? And, you know, you look at Saratoga, and then you look at the county, and then you, it's a very, very complex area. And if we had a comprehensive view, it would help us tremendously. I'm also pushing for the, it hasn't been selected, but, you know, they're looking at a site to do the next urban village, and there is money in this year's budget. And so they have to go through a whole analysis of, you know, where it would be. So it may be in D1 or D9. So I'm competing with my buddy, Pam Foley, and I told her, well, you know, you got a nice, you know, sort of a area there. And so, but they're doing their analysis. Staff is doing their analysis. So it's kind of between, but I'm kind of like, you know, really pushing, trying to get El Paseo as the next urban village.
Just
yes.
One second. One thing I forgot to tell you guys. I think we're, hang on just a second. Technical difficulties. Yeah. Well, we are recording the meeting, so if you can speak into a microphone, it helps us.
Let's see. Yes, my question was, could you give a definition of urban village? I think of something that would, like, what happened with Valco Shopping Center. You know, there was a mall, and now it's become the center. It's got this, you know, the common area, and then surrounded by all its apartments. Is that what you're talking about?
Tell us your name.
Jay Peterson. We live here on the Blackford area.
Thank you.
Okay.
It's a term used in planning that was designating a specific geographic area that would have identified, it would have community involvement, it would have a sort of the designation, it's a general plan designation that is from the 2030 general plan, San Jose general plan. And it shows what types of developments would go where within that designated urban planning area. So it just defines what can and cannot go in a certain geographic area. And they were thinking of having these urban villages as sort of up and coming, higher density, more pedestrian friendly, and bicycle friendly areas throughout San Jose. So they've been identified already in terms of what we believe an urban village would look like, but it would take a lot of analysis from our staff, as well as identifying, well, this is a type of use we would like to see in these particular area. Right now, it does not, we don't have a plan, and therefore many other developments have been happening here and there. It's not perfect though, I will say. I know that, yeah, I know, I look at Chris and I think, okay, they went through the whole process of an urban village plan, and you know, it has things that, you know, we can do better. So I just wanted to let you know that I'm thinking about these things, because no matter what happens in those areas, we need to figure out this transportation, circulation, and what we can do together. And I've already spoken to a couple of other elected officials, and they're interested in solutions. I mean, I'm trying to bring people together to kind of at least have a baseline knowledge, and hopefully we'll be selected to have the urban village. That will really help us a lot, because many people ask me, well, Rosemary, like, what's gonna happen there? What's gonna happen here? And things just pop up because there's no plan. And so we really want to be able to do something about that.
And when are they gonna decide that? When are they gonna decide where the urban village will be located?
Well, I think that they're gonna finish their analysis by August, September. Is what I learned this week. The planning department.
Rosemary, can I just ask you a question? Just a suggestion. So
as you know, we live in an urban village that's being built right now, and you know that there's a lot of issues going on with that, and they don't always follow the urban village plan. So I would highly suggest, as they're doing those studies, they talk to the people not only that helped create the plans, because several of us in this room were on either the Stevens Creek or the Winchester Urban Village Planning Committees for a long time. But we're, I mean, if you look at WONA, we're in the middle of being built around and integrated, and some of it works and some of it doesn't, but we're not being asked what works and what doesn't, and we're the people living it. So they really should be contacting the community.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. And one of the things that you will find is that I've, because I have a background in urban and regional planning, I'm very interested in ensuring that whatever happens there, in whatever urban village, has the follow-up, because a lot of it, as you know, Daphna, is follow-up, right? We really need to make sure that, okay, well, this is how we designated it. Is it going to happen? Well, you know, I think that that's something that that we can help with in our office. And I'm very interested in that, so you will know that I will definitely have myself or my staff follow up. The other thing is that sometimes things happen, and we're not aware of it. So I know that you and both Chris have been very good about informing us and letting us know. And I will say that I'm sorry you were one of the first to go and learn the hard way, but I think that a lot of the lessons learned in your experience will benefit other areas, because I plan to take those and really understand how we can make it better for everyone else. I mean, even the issue of the lot line surveys, you know, that's something that has been suggested to the planning department. It's not a requirement, but we're suggesting it as having that done prior to other things happening. So, you know, it's unfortunate that, you know, you have these dips, but it's also something that we can take for other planning purposes to be able to do something about it, because it should be a little bit easier. So I'm sorry, you know, that you went through that.
So to follow up on what Daphna was saying, and for the rest of the group here, the D1 office is aware of our concerns with the urban village boundary, and this is particularly as it applies to the Pulte project where the Winchester Ranch mobile home came up, and there's been a big property line dispute, and that involves the urban village boundary specifically and these adjoining neighbors, and the fact that, you know, there is no clear definition within the city's urban village guidelines or the whole urban village notion about exactly what the form of the boundary needs to be materially, whether that's a 6-foot fence, a 8-foot fence, a precast concrete wall, or nothing that describes how, you know, how the size of the project or the impact to the project to the adjoining neighborhood, what that, you know, how those all work together. And so we're trying to push with the work with the D1 office and push them to try to, you know, we need to work through this before the rest of our neighborhood gets hit with development and there's no clear definition as to what exactly that boundary form needs to take, right? It's a big deal, you know, for if you lived behind one of these projects, it's a huge deal. So that's why we're trying to work so hard to work with the D1 office, get this Pulte thing resolved, and move forward with getting that definition codified so that nobody else has the problem and it's no question when developers or the city, you know, tries to move forward with these big developments or smaller ones in an urban village. Chris Giangreco with the Winchester Orchard Neighborhood Association.
Thank you. You know, I thank you both, Chris and Daphna, for working closely with our office. I think that becomes really important because you're sort of in the front lines and able to help inform us in terms of things that happen that
you know, the message doesn't get to us for some time, so thank you for that. I will say, just for those who don't know in terms or not familiar with urban villages are more than just, you know, when you're looking at it, it's more than just one particular project, one particular property. It is a designated area. So it's a larger area, but it also gives you an idea of what is sort of the types of uses and the types of things that would happen that would contribute to having it more walkable, more pedestrian friendly, and so it sort of lays out what can and cannot go in a specific in that area. So, okay, I want to go through some things very quick.
Oh, Rosemary, one more question, one more comment.
Okay.
And I'm really encouraged about you pushing forward and trying to get El Paseo into an urban village plan. We've been trying to do that for a decade now. But it's going to take, you know, El Paseo is getting developed piecemeal right now. We have Costco, we have the El Paseo project, or the Westgate Urban Village. And in the meantime, we have to be very careful about development that's going to go in there, particularly the signature projects, because you have to be a signature project to develop an urban village without a plan. And the El Paseo project was pushed through and did not qualify for any of the eight, urban village signature project categories. I mean, it failed on virtually every one of them, and it got pushed through anyway. So I just want to make sure that we're very careful moving forward that a signature project is actually a signature project, so we don't get stuck with another El Paseo. So I really appreciate you moving forward, because while we still have an opportunity to do it before the entire area gets piecemeally developed, and we've lost our opportunity. So thank you very much for pushing that forward. But I want to make sure that we're very careful about moving forward as well, because there's going to be an interim period of years. And that area is prime for development. I mean, that medical area could go any day now with a giant housing project. So I just want to make sure we're very mindful going forward that signature projects are actually signature projects.
Thank you for that. I totally agree, and you know, that's something that, you know, that's one of the reasons why I've been, you know, sort of pushing this. Trying to get it on our side versus D9, but we'll find out a little bit more by that time frame, August or September, when they finish their analysis. So the good news is that there is money in the budget to start one, so I think that that's very positive. I'm going to go very quickly. I know I'm kind of going long here, but I just wanted to let you know that I led my colleagues on wage theft in a joint memo that really strengthened the city's wage theft policy. I also wanted you to know that some of you have been involved in the housing element revision, and the matter will come before the Planning Commission on May 24th, so this coming week, and then it will go to the Housing and Community Development Commission. And then it will go to the City Council on June 20th. So hopefully it will be approved, and that will move forward. As part of the budget discussion, we'll also be examining Measure E money for affordable housing and how it's allocated. Right now, it's been proposed for the majority of it to go to emergency interim housing and prevention. So I know some of you have followed that, and so stay tuned for more discussions on it. And please participate. I know some of you have, so please join us in taking a look at that. We had a great longevity walk with D6 over at Valley Fair on Wednesday, April 19th. And, you know, I want to encourage you next year to be a part of it. It's really lots of fun, and there are a lot of goodies that Valley Fair puts together. So we really are going to start earlier for our next year events, which will probably be in April again. We had a great American litter pickup on Saturday, April 22nd, which was co-hosted in three locations at Cadillac Winchester, Moreland West, and Hammond Park. It was lots of fun, and hope that next time we have more participants. Upcoming, I will say that the City of San Jose is trying to do a lot of activities regarding getting people back out and enjoying. And the next one that we have in D1 is on Friday, May 26th at Mary J. Harmon Park. There's going to be a city run event called Paint the City SJ. And so they'll have activities for the kids and really trying to get more sort of people out and about using our parks. And they're going to have, the event is free, and participants will receive complimentary canvas and necessary painting supplies. They're going to be they're going to have food and drinks for purchase. So this is how to paint a particular subject. So they're really trying to have these activation events. In June, there's going to be June 22nd from 6 to 8, and also at Hammond Park, the Viva Parks neighborhood will be hosted. There's going to be a movie, music, dancing, food, drinks, and the movie is going to be Raya and the Last Dragon. So I'm going to also put it in my newsletter so people can see that, and I think I'm going to leave it at that and see if there are any other questions. Okay, you were first. Wait, Gary, wait.
Thank you. I just want to comment on the homeless thing. Before COVID, even, in this body, we discussed homeless. We had the supervisor out here and all that. And we said at that time that San Jose was taking on more of the burden of dealing with that than the surrounding communities. It wasn't just a San Jose issue, it was county issue, all right, and state issue. And so I was glad to hear that finally the state is looking from maybe a top-down vision of how to deal with this, because it's bigger than San Jose and even the county. On the news this morning, we've got dental clinics taking care of homeless people with dental problems. Where? San Jose. Okay? So San Jose does its share. And I think the state needs to recognize that they need to address this from a statewide perspective, not just, you know, involving the local communities, but it needs to come from the state. The other thing I want to comment on, which is almost crazy, an airport connector to Diridon. Years ago, when they were doing the airport development and redevelopment, the different terminals, that issue came up. Why isn't there a link to Diridon? Okay? We were told at that time there was going to be a tax measure or a measure put on the ballot dealing with that. And we were convinced by whoever it was, city, whatever, we'll handle it. Okay? So we didn't vote on it, and that didn't really get on the ballot. We found out later that the opposition to that from the city was because at that time, most of the airport revenue came from parking. Okay? So this is overdue. The link is, it's crazy. You go to any major area that Europe, anywhere else, there are links between airports and rail centers and things like that. Why not here in San Jose? I mean, it's just overdue. Thank you.
Doris is next. Remember to say your name.
Yeah, I think there's three in a row or four. Yeah.
Doris lives in the Murdoch neighborhood. I was just going to ask you if you could include in your newsletter some of the dates of things that are happening that we can give input to the city, to your office and to the other council offices, so that we know what's coming up. Because sometimes I get it from, I'm on a whole slew of different emails, you know, that I get in, and all of a sudden it's, hey, we need to get this going because they're going to vote on it, just like the new housing director.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I didn't know about that until I heard it from Families and Homes. And so a lot of this stuff isn't really put out there for those of us who maybe want to have an interest in it. So if you could include some of that kind of stuff, it'd be great. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. Okay. But I think maybe what might be helpful is we could have like a little separate section that upcoming something, you know, like input or something like that, so that it's at least a little bit highlighted, because sometimes you go through the newsletter and it kind of gets long all the way down, and the upcoming stuff is the last stuff. So maybe what I'll do is maybe we could just put like a highlight of upcoming items that you may want to comment on, something like that.
So who was next here? I don't know who raised their hand.
Yeah, we're going down the line here.
Amy Cody with Moreland West. Good morning.
Good morning.
Excited about a lot of the things that you mentioned today, and thank you again for your focus and your energy on getting multi-jurisdictional planning in Westgate and other areas, super important. And regarding, you know, whether planning money gets spent in District 1 or District 9, Pam Foley's a fierce competitor, so.
I know. I love her dearly, but when it comes to stuff, yeah.
So anything that we can do, you know, to help support, you know, getting the planning money prioritized for Westgate, I mean, please let us know. And on the budget, I, you know, am in support of, you know, supporting the mayor's budget to focus more funding toward homelessness and getting more people more help more quickly. But I think we also need to make sure that there's money in the pipeline for permanent supportive housing. I mean, you know all this, but that's, I think that's a big trick, balancing act, like you say, and yeah. I would love to see both supported. But then real quickly, May 24th, there's a lot going on. You mentioned the housing element's gonna be looked at by the Planning Commission. I wanna make sure everybody here knows that I think it's the city manager's office that is working on developing a San Jose community engagement framework, which I think is very important. Rosemary, you and I have talked about this a lot, how the city can be, across all of the departments, can be better, more consistent about community outreach. And that I think is what this community engagement framework is aiming to do. There's a hybrid meeting on May 24th from 6:30 to 7:30. I'm gonna be at my daughter's high school band concert. But I think there's, you know, opportunities to write in to the city manager's office to share what we in the community think would be helpful for the city in its communication outreach. I mean, I can think of many, many things. So I'm working on my email response right now to notify, you know, neighborhoods, to notify individuals, to keep us in the loop about important decisions that we should be aware of and can allow us to be more active and engaged. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And thank you for mentioning sort of the balancing, because I think that there might be a better way, because there are uncommitted funds that I think can address what the mayor wants to do, but also trying to keep the pipeline of affordable housing going. So I certainly have brought forward some of my ideas in terms of how we can do both. Right, so stay tuned for how that will come out.
Hi, I'm Susan Nye. I'm from Moore Park Meadows. This is just a little question. How do we keep track of what's going on with Costco? Because it, for my neighborhood, is going to create a lot of traffic, and I never got a sense from when we've discussed it before that the planning department's actually going to study traffic patterns.
It is part of the CEQA that they come out with a traffic study, so that will come out. I will say that you know, in regards to the Costco project, Mark has been really, really from Country Lane has been really on top of this, and we have conversations, and I. You know, between the two of us, you know, we're nothing has happened yet, right? I mean, we're still sort of in the process of seeing what Costco is going to do in terms of anything that comes out of the draft environmental impact report. That's still, we've been told, oh, it's coming. We've been told it's coming since October, and it hasn't come yet. And I asked, well, when is it going to come? But I think that most recently, I've had a couple of meetings, both with Costco as well as with the neighborhood. And you know, one of the things that's important to me is I want to make sure that neighbors are heard. And I think that Costco is, there's a greater willingness for them to hear the neighborhood and the concerns of that area. So nothing has happened, and I think that we've tried to put information on the website. I think our website has some information, and really nothing has happened since
we met last October, right? But I think that I will certainly try to put anything that's up and coming or new or anything that comes out in the newsletter. So if you get my newsletter, it should be in there. And I try, and I'm sorry that, you know, like the last few months, it's been sort of the same. But I think that they're reevaluating from the comments that have come from the community. So. Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay.
I just wanted to comment quickly, Vice Mayor. Thank you for being here. And
thank you.
If you have a moment or your staff at perhaps at the end of the meeting, I brought some photos in of the lighting at Costco. You know, I mentioned this to you at
yes,
a meeting,
yes.
So I don't want to take
yes.
people's time now, but I do have some. And I will say that I'm not in favor of the project. Our neighborhood has voted against it, so this is not just a tweak situation, it's trying to oppose it coming in. I did hear at the Prospect High School meeting, the second one, unfortunately you weren't there, but the woman who works as an agent for Costco, she doesn't work for them, but she's the voice for them. She didn't say to the group, but the light fixtures have come down from like 30 feet to 10 feet, and she was kind of glibly saying, oh, this solves the dark sky or whatever, but it doesn't. It, you know, going from 30 feet to 10 feet, it rearranges, first of all, the number of poles you'll have. You'll have to have more poles. It's still gonna be the LED lighting. It's still gonna bounce off, like, see all those white cars out there? It'll bounce off that, it'll go up into the sky. Anyway, I have some photos. I just wanted to let you know, as I have at prior meetings, I'd like to keep in touch with you about that. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. And I know that I've been receiving information from the community, so photos or anything else. As a matter of fact, this week I was out there just trying to take a look at, you know, the area, the flow, the signage that's there. And there is a sign that says, you know, the limitations on deliveries. So whether or not someone is doing what they're supposed to do is a different story. I will say that we are getting more more staff for compliance. So I'm really thrilled about that. But thank you. Yes, yes, and please share with us.
Board member of English Estates. Thank you.
Okay, we are going to have to transition. Did you have another question?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. So, and I think you had a question. Okay, and then we'll have to.
And I'm happy to stick around if you want to just chat afterwards too. So, you know, I'm available.
Who replaced Nguyen Nguyen? Didn't she retire?
Oh, Nan actually got promoted to another job, and so the person who I'm sorry I didn't mention the new people on my staff, and maybe they could just introduce themselves, because I think it's really, really important. Everybody knows David Gomez, but maybe we could have.
Hi, my name is Alex Dersch. I replaced Dan in terms of handling things like the newsletter and communications on our social media, and I'm all happy to be here and work with you all.
Hi, good morning. My name is Sarah. I actually just started this week as a council assistant. I'm excited to learn about this community and give back.
Yeah, and some of you already know J.R. Fruin, who does all of the land use information.
So David Gomez, Chief of Staff for Vice Mayor Kamei. I just wanted to kind of let you know a little bit about Sarah's policy areas. So she's actually taking over a lot of the policy areas in which Grace worked on. So a lot of the public safety, homelessness, the San Jose YAH, which is a Youth Empowerment Alliance. She will also be working with Project Hope and anything to do with public safety. And Alex will be working on a lot of senior things doing with seniors, parks and recs, and some other things that we haven't determined yet. So we're still fleshing that out.
All right. And we would like to get some of the youth present in this meeting. So if you want to get some of the leaders to come here, a great place to learn, see how things work. Okay, did you have more? Okay.
Measure E, how is it possible to for the mayor to divert money from the affordable care, affordable housing to shelters? Is that within the confines of the law? Can yes. that be done?
Yes.
It can't. The law allows for that.
Yes. Measure E is a general tax, and it was designated to focus on affordable housing and homelessness and services. But it because it's a general tax, it's broad, right? The thing is that the prior city council, now you got to remember, you have a new, except for a few members, you have a new city council and mayor, right? So the previous city council and mayor created a policy, 1-18, which I think is 1-18, right? Is that right? That designates how the percentages of the money is going to be spent. And as part of that, you have to have two public hearings. To change it, you have to have two public hearings. You have to have two-thirds of the council and mayor vote on it, to make any changes. So there are requirements that the previous mayor and city imposed on themselves. So that's how, that's how it happened.
Okay, and Saratoga Trail, there's been a lot of discussion with the D1 email site, and it seems like all the leadership, the water company, the county, the police, the city, are just pointing fingers at, well, that group has to take care of it, this group has to take care of it, we can't do that. So there are two people that are out there. One person is... a woman and a man. The woman is, I don't know what the problem is. She has mental problems, I guess, and the man's taking advantage of her in many ways. And there's trash, and it just is an ongoing problem. Is there any solution coming?
We're really working on it in terms of trying to find ways to solve that. Right. I think that the real challenges, and maybe it'll come up later in the next speaker, but the real challenge, whether it's for Beautify San Jose, for the city, for the water district, for anyone, is that because of a ruling that a judge made, homelessness is not a crime. So there are very limited things that we can do. One of the things about having emergency shelters or identified locations to say, okay, you're in an RV park or you're living in your car, you cannot be here, you have to go over there. You have to have a place to put them. And you can't force people who don't want to go against their will. You know, the governor has his care court, and all of that to force those who cannot make decisions for themselves. But I think that it's a very difficult sort of how to navigate that line of forcing someone to vacate, right?
Aren't they trespassing?
It's because it's in the public right of way. I mean, even during COVID, one of the things that that we learned during COVID is that even in the street, which is public right of way, anybody can set up a tent right there and it's okay. And you can't do anything about it. You can't have police come and clean them up unless you have a place for them to be. So, the way in which things changed and what judges have deemed as what can be and cannot be done has caused some things that perhaps previously was done to remove or clean up or do whatever to make it much more challenging. So that's the issue that sometimes you'll find that when Captain Spears comes and talks to us and tells us, you know, I cannot, if someone's living in that car, I cannot move them, I cannot do anything about it, and you know, we're just a little bit limited.
I guess so.
It's hard. I will say it's really hard, and you know, many times it's not just hard for you know, sort of the community, but also for the individual. And in this case, I know there's a lot of people on Saratoga Trail that have been trying to help with that issue and help that person, and she doesn't want to be helped. So that's tough. Yeah, I'm sorry.
And this is kind of a follow-up to his question and a follow-up to Gary's initial question. And this, I had a conversation with a parking compliance officer just a couple of days ago rolling down my street. He said that parking compliance staff had been required to, as a full press effort, to go across the city and log all of the RVs or vehicles that appear to be used as
shelters.
Homeless shelters, right? And that basically, his statement there corroborates what we were told by Emily Breslin, who also works in the mayor's office. So this press is from the mayor, so that's a big deal. And you know, how's the mayor going to use this data to help solve the problem? Are they tracking how many what the baseline is now and using that to track how many new vehicles come in, or how's this data going to be used?
So I really can't speak for the mayor. I do know that our office is working with the mayor and other members of the council to really try to have a location for RV parking. We're working to secure the place. It's taken a lot longer than we would want to see it, but we're trying to find a place, because the way that we can do it is that if we're going to restrict parking in a certain area and say, no, you know, you can't be here, or no oversized vehicles or whatever, we have to have a place for them to go. Right, so we're trying to arrange a location where we can say, okay, you can't be here, but you can go over there, and there's room over there for you to go to. So I think that is sort of the plan we've been trying to push. And you know, those of you who know the mayor, he's been pushing since the beginning. So I think that there are a few wrinkles along the way. We're hoping to iron them out, but it's just taken a long time. Having an inventory, I think, will help to know, okay, this is what it is, this is what we have, and move forward. Gary talked about, you know, it shouldn't be just San Jose. I agree with you, Gary. I really do, because I've seen, even in our neighborhood, license plates from Iowa, right? And I'm like, what are you doing here? Maybe you're visiting, I don't know. But, you know, I just feel that it isn't just San Jose residents. So, okay, I better go. Yes, more than our share, yes. Well, right. Thank you all.
Yes, just leave it there. Thank you. It's difficult to cut the conversation short, because it's good discussion.